very difficult to understand what is actually awaiting all of us. That to understand what the spiritual world is or what spiritual life is, we have an opportunity to get some indication by following the instructions of Krishna coming down through our disciples' succession. But there's a whole, what's actually going on in this world and what's going on in the worlds beyond what we can perceive is beyond our perception right now. By some good fortune, we've come in contact with the reality coming from a pure devotee such as Srila Prabhupada by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And although it appears we're in Kali Yuga, and with all the different things that go on in Kali Yugas, at the same time, we're actually in the beginning of the Golden Age. And in order to begin the Golden Age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's decided to finish the Kali Yuga Age to some extent, to intensify it to such an extent that we'll look forward to the Golden Age. Generally speaking, we've all been brought up in the Western world. I was brought up in America, and with everything that entails, especially wherever I came from. Like, for instance, they taught us when I was in school that the Russians were our enemies. Everything evil in the world came from Russia, and everything good came from America. After all, didn't America give everyone Coca-Cola? Disneyland? Except for England gave the Beatles. And Russia gave the Berlin War. Oh, war. Anyhow, we were brought up like that. And that the aim of life, as it said, one bumper sticker, you go to school and you learn the rule, because don't be a fool. That is, get all the toys you can, because whoever gets the most toys at the end of life wins. That's a bumper sticker in America. So we were brought up like that. There is no, even if there was some religious philosophy, there is nothing about that we're not this body, and that Krishna is the supreme person. There's a supreme person who's all attractive. That our heroes were George Washington, because he once in his life, he was the only politician that I know of ever told the truth one time. Supposedly he had a hatchet in his hand. He was standing next to a cherry tree, and the cherry tree was fallen on the ground. There's no one else around. So someone asked him, who cut the tree down? So he said, I did it. Wow. That's amazing. Someone actually told the truth for this. And he's an American hero because he's the only politician in record that ever told the truth one time. What's that? Well, that's another thing. America's an illegitimate country, so his father must be illegitimate also. Any case, we've been all been brought up wherever we came from. You know, I'm sure we all have our stories to tell about how we were brainwashed by our particular culture we came from. Matter of fact, it's not like we gave it all up. We still have some ideas that we're not even aware of, comes from our cultural conditioning, we could say. But some light is there. A little doubt that maybe this is not the absolute truth. Maybe it's not the only thing that exists. So this is very good. The only thing is to keep that faith and to carry on with it. When I first came to the movement, well, actually, I remember, just from my own personal history, I remember being around 10 years old and looking up in the sky and thinking, you know, this didn't come out of nothing. There must be something beyond what I understand is going on here. There must be something behind this, someone or something behind this. And I always thought like that. Although when I got to college, by bad association, I declared myself to follow my girlfriend that I was an atheist. Although I didn't even know what it meant, really. But it kept peace in our relationship for some time. And then one day I was just walking along and my whole consciousness changed. And in the same way it changed when I was like 10 years old. Because I was just walking along and I was looking around and everything became like I was in some kind of fairy tale. All the buildings became, you know, from some other world. It was pastel. I was thinking, wait a second, I haven't taken any drugs, and I didn't take any drugs. I may have taken alcohol one time in my life. I smoked one puff of a cigarette, but I didn't like it very much. I said, I'm not on drugs, but where am I? What's going on? And then I walked to the park, and I saw all these stones. And I said, this whole thing is unlimited. It's unlimited. That, first of all, how did I get into the state of consciousness? And how am I perceiving everything as unlimited? And then I realized that there must be some reality beyond what I normally was experiencing. And then I figured out that the aim of life is to discover that reality. That was the whole purpose of life. So that week I became a vegetarian. I started to practice yoga 8 hours a day. Read the Bible. Read all the esoteric books I could find out. And I thought the aim of life is to develop mystic power. And to realize the absolute truth. And I thought the path was yoga, because the only one I knew. And then one of my friends, who later on became a GBC from college, we met each other in our freshman year. He became a sannyasi and a GBC. His name was Jeffrey Hickey at that time, is Jagadish, later on, Jagadish Maharaj. Then I said, you know, I want to become a Buddhist. Is there any temples? He said, yeah, there's something. This temple around the corner from the school. So I went down there, and they told me that the pras, our yoga, is to chant the names of God. I said, really? I said, how does that work? How can you get anything by chanting the names of God? In any case, I went up to the school every... They had classes twice a week. And Rupanuga was giving classes twice a week in the lawn in front of the school. And I thought the aim of my life is to defeat his arguments from all these books I was reading. So I'd go up there and challenged him every time he came there. And I was always losing. I said, wait a second. I'm not supposed to lose. So then I said, well, if you can't beat him, might as well join him. So then I started to chant 25 rounds a day. And then, one time, my roommate was also chanting. We went on the bus to go to his parents, so I was chanting and chanting, and everyone on the bus seemed to become happy. So I said, wow, this is really powerful. And then I went to my friend's house, and his father and his sister were fighting with each other. And we were chanting, and they made up and became friends. I said, wow, this works. And then I realized, as long as I keep on chanting, I'm all right. As soon as I stop chanting, I'm in Maya. So then I decided that I should move into the temple. I had less chance of being in Maya. Anyhow, Krishna gave me a lot of experiences for the next couple of years. And I was always thinking, wait a second, I'm completely in Maya, And why is Krishna giving me these experiences? I said, they're nice. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much, Krishna. But I know it's not going to last because simultaneously I'm getting all these experiences in Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, I know I'm under the illusory energy. And then Krishna said, all right, it's time to practice a little bit more sincerely. And most of them disappeared from the most of the time. So hopefully I'm sure we all have gotten higher experiences, higher tastes, and we think that it's not meant for one person or two persons or one devotee or the most exalted devotees. It's meant for all of us. Each one of us has an eternal relation with Krishna, and Krishna is equally receptive to each one of our desires. And he's equally happy if any of us desire in any way to go to try to serve him and therefore revive our relationship with him. And if we want to find out what our relation with Krishna is, we just have to read Prabhupada's books. And even if we don't understand it, even if our present reality is something completely different from what we're reading, but we should know that that is our future reality if we take to this path. And if we don't, then Maya is right there for us. She's going to help us in ways that we don't want, but ways that Krishna wants. She'll chastise us and bewilder us and confuse us, put us in depression. She'll kick us. She'll do everything. And one day we'll say, wait a second. Hare Krishna. Help. And then we'll be back on the path again. So we may be thinking that this is, you know, oh, this is like, how can this wonderful world? I remember when I went to, I was like 10 years old, I went to this fair, the World's Fair, and Westinghouse had all these exhibits there, electricity, how the whole world was going to become, you know, self-sufficient, everyone's going to be blissful all the time just by electricity. They had one movie called James Bond. You've heard of James Bond. And in the movie, I mean, having good memory means you remember everything. Sometimes it's good to forget a few things. But anyhow, this is an illustration. So James Bond with his girlfriend on his bed, and the alarm rings. The alarm rings. And the bed, it was like flat, and then it goes, it comes up, and James Bond and his girlfriend slide off the bed into the swimming pool. They don't have to get up and take a bath, they just slide into the swimming pool. And then the swimming pool kind of like, there's this rotor, there's this motor that kind of like helps them swim. They don't even swim, it just pulls them over there. And when they get to the edge of the pool, some things pick them up, and they dry them off. And the next thing they're doing, that they're on a table and the food is being served to them. So this is everyone's dream. You don't do anything. They're just, you know, the food is put in your mouth. You're dried off. You know? Progress in Kali Yuga. So we can see what it ends up in, this whole dream that of sense gratification, unrestricted, unlimited sense gratification, is actually a nightmare. The whole thing's a nightmare. Some people are still thinking it's progress. I don't know. To me, it appears to be a nightmare. The pandemic, the wars that are going on, even in ISKCON, you know. Sometimes it seems that most of the news we hear is, sometimes we hear news about book distribution and news about the latest politics in the zone. Hopefully you don't hear that, but don't go on the internet. You find out all the things that are good are happening in ISKCON, which is the only thing good that's happening, and you find out all the bad things that are happening. That's the only thing that's happening. And the other side, there's a reality that's called Krishna consciousness. And if we chant Hare Krishna, and we study Prabhupada's books, we hear, then we can try to do a little bit, just a little bit, to make some advancement. and Krishna will immediately reciprocate. If we have any desire, sincere desire whatsoever, to try to become Krishna conscious, then Krishna will reciprocate with us. May not be immediate, but he knows exactly when to give us the reciprocation, to encourage us. And then we think, well, you know, then we may forget for some time, but if we simply try to have some sadhana, for those who are in the temple, hopefully they appreciate the opportunity so that they actually, you know, maintain their sadhana and try to actually improve in it. I know sometimes I go to Mangalarati and everything that happened yesterday goes through my mind. And I'm wondering, you know, then the tendency is, maybe this is important to think about it. I may not have time to solve all my problems. Maybe doing Mangalarti is a good time to do it. Or japa. But actually, if we can just, for 1 second, take Krishna consciousness a little bit more seriously, we can't say seriously, but just become a little bit detached from where our minds are going to, and just try to listen a little bit and appreciate this opportunity to glorify Prabhupada, remember what he's doing, learn a little bit about Krishna consciousness, then there'll be a different experience, at least for that moment. Then we'll see, actually, I'm in charge of my destiny. I can actually change it. I can actually become conscious of Krishna. It's all just not happening arbitrarily. If I make an effort, then Krishna will help me. And the way he helps me is not necessarily he's going to give me fame and riches and strength and health and everything else. He'll just remind me, be people, why don't you just listen? Don't listen to your mind. Listen to the devotees. Listen to Krishna. And that way you'll come closer to me and your life will become something sublime. So these little things, in the spiritual world, there are no big... Even Srimati Radharani, she's not doing anything extraordinary. She's not the GBC of the spiritual world. She's not even the guru of this officially. Purnamasi is the guru. Yogamaya. She's one of the cooks. And she also knows how to make garlands. But her most important quality is she's in love with Krishna. And everything she does is infused with that love for him. She only does it to please him. And that's all we have to do, whatever we're doing. If we just infuse that activity with the desire to please Krishna, desire to please Krishna's devotees, the desire to spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, then we won't need anything else. Because if we accept that intelligence coming from Prabhupada, which it comes from, then the result is that activity will actually, you know, Krishna will reciprocate and we'll be closer to Krishna. And the closer you get to the fire, the more pleasure, the more enlightenment will be there. And then we'll actually be able to understand what it says in the books. We can learn millions of verses, but if we learn that, then actually it'll be revealed what those verses mean. And then we may develop the character eventually of a nice devotee or a pure devotee or advanced devotee, but at the same time we'll be blessed with understanding that actually we're just one of the observers also. That whatever good quality we have is all by the mercy of our disciple succession going through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that we're watching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deliver us and deliver others also. But we ourselves are just 1/10,000th the size of tip of hair in size, just by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, having enough intelligence to accept their mercy and not take credit for the mercy that they're distributing to others. And instead appreciate how others are surrendered. As a final thing, one time Prabhupada was talking in the Nectar of Devotion series lectures in Vrindavan in 1972, and Prabhupada said that actually the spiritual master never thinks himself to be the spiritual master. He said he knows that within his heart is the super soul, and whatever he can remember is coming by the mercy of the super soul. And the super soul, by his kindness, is reminding the devotee, the spiritual master or the leader, whatever his spiritual master has told him, and remembering the example of his spiritual master and the previous acharyas. So when he repeats the instructions that his spiritual the super soul is reminding him that his spiritual master has given to his disciples and followers, he knows it's not his instructions, but it's actually the instructions of his Guru Maharaj, that he's simply the instrument. And therefore, when he sees his followers and disciples taking seriously the instructions of his Guru Maharaj, he learns from them how to become a better servant of his Guru Maharaj. And that way he sees his disciples as his instructors, as a kind of spiritual master for himself. So we have to appreciate that, appreciate Prabhupada's example, that he was completely in the spiritual world, and that being directed perfectly by the super soul in Krishna, he was able to see this others and appreciate their service to Krishna. He didn't see as much exactly what they were doing. He saw what they were doing, and he saw, especially amongst his followers, he saw his so-called disciples, or his disciples and his followers, is actually the blessings of his Guru Maharaj, helping him fulfill his service to his Guru Maharaj. He saw his disciples, he saw his followers as the blessings of his Guru Maharaj. He felt himself, as he once said, he said, because I'm so incapable, I'm so of serving my Guru Maharaj, he sent me all these very nice servants of his just to assist me in his mission. Otherwise, I could not do anything by myself. So I thank you all for serving Srila Prabhupada and his mission. Krishna is, for me, myself, he's revealed enough so that I know he hasn't revealed very much. That's a very good, that's a blessing.